Gospel, chapter number 19. The Luke's Gospel, chapter number 19. I like what Brother Jonathan said. It's amazing the way each preacher preached, and somebody got something different from each preacher. I heard a lot of people say, boy, that message was for me. I heard some say, that was for me. But I'll remind you what one of them said on the last night. This know that in the last days, perilous times shall come. I wish it was the book of Acts this morning. I wish I could preach here and see thousands get saved. Matter of fact, the Filipino pastor was in our meeting just to see how we do services, that he may take the order of our worship back to his church. He said, you have sweet congregation. You have sweet people. He said, not many saved in America, huh, preacher? One little child saved this week with that much God in the building. Isn't that amazing? I'm going to tell you something. It's not because I'm the preacher here, but you'd be hard-pressed to find any more God any place I know than at this place. One saved this week. God went home with a child. Thank God she got, praise God, she got saved. Wished it was the book of Acts. Matter of fact, when I preached over there at his place, God moved. I think there was some 200 or 300 got saved that week. Not in America. We've shook our fist in the face of God and said, we don't need you no more. You see, our forefathers lived for God. That's why America's blessed. But now there's a generation knows nothing about Him. And it's just what Brother David said, it's going to affect the generation of my grandchildren. And it's affecting the generation right now. Enough of that. I'll get on to preaching. Luke chapter number 19. Boy, it's a great text. Are you ready for preaching? Do you want some preaching? Luke 19, verse 28. The Bible said, now he had just saved Zacchaeus. He had come down out of the tree. Ain't you glad even God can save a tree hugger? Somebody say amen right there. So he's walking now, and look what the Bible says. He said in Luke 19:28, and when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. It came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in which at your entering in you shall find a colt tied, wherein yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the coat, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the coat? They said, the Lord hath need of him. They brought him to Jesus. They cast their garments upon the coat, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. He answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love You. We thank You for this time together. Oh God, we sure do need You. Thank You for blessing this place this last week. Thank You for each man of God that gave their time, each church that gave up their man of God to come to preach to ours. Thank You for each song that was sung. Thank You, Lord, for moving in our midst. Thank You, Lord, for the little one that You saved this week. Oh God, how we need You today on this message. Touch us and help us, and we'll be grateful to You. In Christ's name I ask, amen and amen. The Bible said in verse 37, "And the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen." I'd like to preach on this simple topic this morning on "I just can't praise Him enough." I just can't praise Him enough. Now notice, if you would, in verse 28, there is a devotion that we should praise Him for. There is a devotion that we should praise Him for. The Bible said when He had thus spoken, He went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. You'll notice there is a comfort of this devotion. The Bible said that He went before. Aren't you glad that there are no untrodden paths for the child of God? Aren't you glad that our God has been there before? He's been through the fires. He's been through the floods. He's been through the famines. There's nothing too hard for our God of the Bible. I'm glad I've got a God that went before me, and He goes before you today. And we ought to praise Him and thank Him that we've got a God that goes before us in all the matters of our life. I sure am glad. Oh, is anybody glad they got a God that's went before them? Oh, it's been times that I've wondered how I made it, but I found out when I got there, there was a God in heaven waiting on me there. When the Hebrew boys got in the fire, they found out there was a God that beat them in the fire. Thank God He goes ahead of us, children. Oh, I just can't praise Him enough for His devotion. You see, there's a comfort in the devotion. And then there's a climb in this devotion. Look what He done. He went before ascending up. I'll remind you, it was a lonely hill toward Calvary where He was headed to. Our Lord took some lonely steps, going toward Jerusalem, headed to the cross at Calvary. I just can't praise Him enough for His devotion. There is a comfort of this devotion. There is a climb in this devotion. But there is also a claim in this devotion. Let me tell you, He didn't stop in Bethany, friend. He was headed to Jerusalem. There where bloody Calvary would meet Him. This day they would cry, "Hosanna to the King." But in a few days they would be crying, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." I'll remind you, the reason we ought to praise Him this morning is because the God of heaven went to Calvary on our behalf. If you're lost and undone in your sins, I'll remind you today, you'll not go to heaven except by Calvary. I'm glad the Lord went up to Jerusalem to a lonely place, and He claimed a hill at Calvary, and there He died for the sins of this whole world. Oh, I just can't praise Him enough. I'm glad He died for me. What love of a man would leave his world and come to mine and your world and get on a cross and die in our stead. Die in our place. You don't have to die and go to hell because Jesus died for you.
And if you'd believe in Him and ask Him to save you and repent of your sin, you could go to heaven and live with Him one day. What a glorious devotion! The reason we ought to praise Him this long. They couldn't even keep the disciples quiet because they knew the great devotion that was going before them. There's been times I've dreaded things even in my job. There's been times in this job I've dreaded going to funerals, and I've dreaded even going to some weddings. Somebody say amen right there. I've never been... Oh, you can't handle it. Maybe you can. I've never had a funeral, nobody come back on me. But I'm telling you this morning, there's been some sad days in this preacher's life that I found out when I got there I wasn't by myself. There's somebody done beat me there. I praise the Lamb of Glory that He'll go before His children. Oh, what devotion our God has made. Oh, I'm telling you, we've got a God that's been good to us, and the disciples just couldn't keep quiet about it. You see, there's a reason here that I just can't praise Him enough. Not only His devotion, but His directions. Look what He said now in verse 29. Came to pass, when He was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, He sent two of His disciples, saying, "Go ye into the village over against you, in which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, wherein yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither." Now, I can't praise Him enough about His devotion, but secondly, because of His directions. Look what He's done for me and you. First of all, in verse number 30, He said, "Go ye." Isn't it amazing, before God saved us, He said, "Come unto me." But now we get saved, He says, "Go ye." The Great Commission. We see this direction. There's the mandate of direction. Go ye. That means every one of us that have been saved, God wants to use us in the Great Commission. Now, there's the mandate of direction, but notice this, there's a map of direction. He said, "Now, where are we going?" He said, "Oh, it's easy." He said, "You go into the village over against you." In other words, you touch them people that are touching you. Wouldn't that be a blessing this week if you would get in on the Great Commission and follow the directions and reach people that God has put in your path? He's not asking you to go to Africa today, but He is asking for us to reach the town that we're living in. And boy, how God wants us to reach others for the glory of God. Now, I just can't praise Him enough because of His directions. Aren't you glad some of you, God reached you because of these directions or because of this Great Commission that others got in on? And look how big our God is. The Bible said this, not only the mandate of direction and the map of direction, but look at this manifestation of direction. The Bible said in verse 32, "And they that were sent went their way and found even as He had said unto them." See, before there was ever a GPS, God had the greatest GPS. Before there was ever anything that come along, there was a God in heaven that knowed what was out yonder. And many times when God is telling us to go here, He's got somebody waiting on us over there. You know, a lot of times I've often wondered, how many blessings have I missed because I didn't do what God told me to do? I'll never forget, Brother Mike, I was going to Brother David Phillips' revival one night. There was a man sitting in a trailer on the left. We was running late, and the Spirit of God spoke to me, said, "Stop and give that man a track." And I want to apologize to God because I already have. I didn't that night. But it bothered me. You know what I said, Brother Jerry? When I left, I said, "Well, I'll stop tomorrow night." Well, when I come back through, guess what? The wheelchair wasn't sitting in the yard tomorrow night. I said all that to say this. God moves on our heart now that we may obey Him because He knows what needs to happen for the goodness and the glory of God. He told the boys what it was going to be like. And when they got there, guess what? It's just like what God said it would be. I'm going to tell you, the Bible done told us about how heaven would be. Guess what? It'll be just like what He said it would be. And you that are lost, He's told you what hell's about. Guess what? It's going to be just what He said it would be. God don't lie. This Bible's real. There's a God that knows what He's talking about this morning. I just can't praise Him enough. You notice I can't praise Him enough because of His devotion. He went ahead of us. I can't praise Him enough for His directions. Go ye. Remember that, Liberty Baptist Church. That's a great commission to every member in this church, to every child of God. Go ye and preach the gospel. Well, preacher, I'm not a preacher. You might not be a preacher, but you can tell people what happened to you for the glory of God. I heard somebody say the other day, he said, boy, I would love to be able to go to church where nobody knowed me because I've done so much bad. Well, I want to tell you this morning, I'm glad there's some folks in here that's got saved that don't look like they come out of the Who's Who Club. Amen. I'm all for doing right. I wished I didn't have the testimony of the prodigal son, but I thank God I do got a testimony, Brother Lee. And I come to tell you this morning, I don't care what you've done. I don't care how long you've been doing it. There's a God in heaven that sent His Son to take away the sins of this world. And if you'll trust Him, He'll give you a home in heaven this morning. Oh my, I just can't praise Him enough for His devotion, for His directions. But thirdly, I just can't praise Him enough for His deliverance. Did you notice what He did? The Bible said that He had, verse 29, it come to pass, He has come not to Bethpage in Bethany. Do you remember what happened at Bethany? Mary and Martha, their brother got sick, and he had died. The Lord came and awoke him out of his sleep. He went on out there in the graveyard, remember at Bethany, and He called him back. Now, I won't be real kind when I say this. I've lost a father. And I've not lost a father. I just get to see him later. And I want to say this about when we bury our loved ones. When I leave out of here, I hope the Lord don't call me back. Because I'm going to get a new glorified body. I'm not going to hurt no more, and I'm not going to cry no more. Can you imagine, lad? The Bible said, listen, people, the Bible said he was dead. The Lord walked in and said, Lazarus, come forth. My. And you remember when the widow woman's son at Nain was toting out to the graveyard, he walked up to the bier of the coffin, and he said, lad, arise. And he sat up and began to talk. Oh, I hope he don't call me back. Oh, no. When I leave out here, I want to be done with it, don't you? I mean, I do. I want to be done with this old world. It's getting worse and worse. Some of you buried your mama and your daddy. Why would you want to bring them back to this place if they're there with God, resting in the eternal glory? Ain't you glad it's more than a story? Ain't you glad that you know it's a real place to be this morning? He walked into Bethany. He had raised up Lazarus. This is what he said. He said, boys, there's a colt tied over yonder. Y'all go get him. It's several messages in this text. There's a lot of no names there. And we ought to learn something from it. The Bible said he sent two of his disciples. Well, who were they? Well, I can tell you this. We don't know who they was, but the most important thing is he knew who they were. See, me and you don't need no applause here. And then he said, when you get over there, they're going to say, now, Lord, let me ask you something. What are we going to do? We untying this thing and the owner walks up. He said, well, you tell him that the Lord has need of it. And so I'm interested in that kind of feller. Amen. He'd tell Brother Gerald, hey, Brother Gerald, go get that Mercedes over yonder at that feller's house. Brother Gerald going to say, well, how am I going to do that? And I put the key in the ignition and to say the Lord has need of him. Go find him, Brother Gerald, and sell two or three of them for the glory of God. You don't find many of them fellers left today, do you? Just take him then. The Lord needs it. Just take him. I wonder if God could have had that mule tied at your house and you said, just take him. Well, I didn't want to kill the meeting. Some of y'all said, no, you tell him to bring me money back. Tell him to mail it. So this is where I want to get to. I just can't praise him enough for his deliverance. Watch this, verse 32. Let's talk about this little donkey just a minute. He was a colt. The Bible said, y'all go over yonder. He said, I want you to go into the village. And he said, there's a colt tied, and yet never man set. Loose him and bring him hither. Now I want to say something. I want to praise him about this deliverance. And if none of you never been there, you won't know what I'm talking about. But just bear with me. I won't be much longer. I want to say, first of all, the colt was trailed. I'm glad the Lord knowed where he was. A lot of people say, well, I found the Lord. No, you didn't either. The Lord found you. That colt was trailed. I'm glad the Lord knowed where. Aren't you glad that a lot of y'all was in a bad place and the Lord knowed where you was and sent after you? Oh my, the coat was trailed. And then, this is amazing to me, verse 34, Brother Jason. The coat was treasured. You say, why was he treasured? Because the Lord had need of him. See, this is what the devil will tell every one of you. Well, God can't use you. Look at your life. Let me remind you about a few things this morning about the Lord hath need of him. You see, he was a little old treasured donkey. God had need of him. And I'm going to tell you this morning, now don't think you're going to shut the church down if you leave. But let me tell you this, the Lord needs you too. You see, he needed a little lad one day to bring his lunch to feed a lot of people. He needed a whale one day to swallow up a preacher to get him back on the right track. He needed a rooster to crow one time to get a preacher doing back right. He needed a little boy named David to go out and defeat a giant on the battlefield. He needed an Isaiah to cry, what thus saith the word of the Lord. He needed a Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. He needed so many in this Bible that he may use. It may totally mess with your mind to think that God needs you, but he does need you. And I can tell you this, just as much as he needs you, there's other people that need you. The devil will say this, they don't need you. Why, sure, we need you. We need where you're sitting. We need where you're parking. Everybody has a part in God's family. He was a treasured mule. Isn't it amazing? God seen something in you that nobody else seen. I was thinking about little Miss Terry a while ago, raised her hand and thanked God. That helped this preacher this morning. Wasn't even saved a few years ago. But God sent for her and brought her down. Saved her by His amazing grace. You see, not only was he a trailed mule, he is a treasured mule. The Lord had need of him. And the Lord's got a need for every one of us in this building. It's no accident where you work.
no accident where you go to church. The Lord has need of you. What? To use you. And I tell you what He wants to do. He wants to use you just like He did with this little mule to glorify Him. Now, I just can't praise Him enough for this deliverance. Notice He was trailed. He was treasured. But then notice in verse 33, He was tied. You see, He had life, but He didn't have no liberty. That's a lot like a bunch of you. You're living, but you just ain't got no liberty. You're tied to a past. Why don't you take and kick that skeleton back in the closet, close the door on that two-eyed monster, and say, "Hey, I ain't got no past. It's under the blood for the Lord Jesus Christ." You see, He was tied. He had life, but no liberty. I sure am glad the Lord knew that I was tied up in an old bad place. You know, a lot of y'all still tied up in tradition. You think, well, Mama and Papa did it, and I agree with some tradition, but all tradition ain't biblical. Amen. A lot of folks is tied to a place. I know people right now driving to a dead church. Ain't been God around there in 50 years. Amen. Won't even preach out of the right kind of Bible, but they keep going down there. You know why? Because they tied to a past. Honey, I ain't tied to a past. I ain't tied to a place. I'm tied to a person. I'm glad the Lord Jesus sent after me one day, and I love Him and I praise Him, and I'm glad I can go to church where I can feel Him. Somebody said, salvation ain't by feeling. Honey, it ain't by feeling, but I'm glad when you get saved, you get some feeling that goes along with it. Amen. Boy, you remember how tied up you was. You see, you had life, but you didn't have no liberty. There's nothing like being saved. Nothing like being saved. Now, I'm going to tell you what. He was tied. But I like this too. In verse 35, He was transported. The Bible said, and they brought Him to the Baptist Pope. That wouldn't have done Him no good. They brought Him to the evangelist. That wouldn't help Him much. They brought Him to Jesus. What church members out on assignment? Go find some people that's tied up in a bad place. Let me help our congregation right here while it's deader than a hammer anyway. Go out and find some people that's tied in a bad place and bring them to Jesus. So that's what God's wanting you to do. The problem, I'm going to tell you why a lot of churches don't grow, because they're scared to invite somebody who don't look like us to church. Amen? I'm going to tell you something. We all are different. We're all made individuals. God's not a cookie-cutter type God when He makes people. That's why it's red cars, black cars, and white cars. Amen. Bald-headed men and men that need a haircut. Somebody say amen. But I can tell you this morning, friend, there's a God of this Bible that loves sinners, and you better be glad one day God found you in a bad place where you was tied up and somebody brought you back down to where He was, because He sure does make a difference. You said, "Preacher, how do you know He makes a difference?" Well, He got loose. Wouldn't that be a blessing if God had let you get loose? I love the spirit we had in here this week. People standing up, testifying, rejoicing, going to the altar. There's a young man called me yesterday. He said, "Pastor, I want to ask you something. How do you get your people to go to the altar and pray with others?" I said, "It's years of preaching. It's a filling with the Holy Ghost. And people's got to realize, number one, that they can fall theirself. And when somebody else gets in that altar, they need somebody to help them pray through." Honey, let me tell you, there's no big ones here. There's no little ones here. We all stand even at the foot of Calvary. You say, "Well, preacher, I come down here to run it." Honey, you done messed up coming into a preacher this morning. Amen. I'm sorry you ain't used to a preacher, but you done walked in on one now. So you might as well enjoy.
enjoy the house of God and the people of God. There are no big uns. There are no little uns. There's no boards. There's no committees. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and a little under-shepherd and a handful of people that's headed yonder to glory land world. I'm glad one day He untied me by the sweet grace of God. A lot of y'all was tied up some old dead places. I've said it 100 times out preaching. I'll say it to the people that I love the most that I'm pastoring. Honey, gas is way too high to drive to a dead church. There's a poor woman called me in Bremen, Georgia the other day. She said, "We listen to y'all's broadcast." She said, "I sure wish I could come to y'all's church. People starving all around this country. Boy, I sure am glad they know where to bring him back to." You see, once Jesus has touched you, you'll know where to bring people to. Oh, my goodness. They didn't take him to the bingo parlor. They didn't even stop him off at a yard sale. Praise God, I'm glad we ain't got to have car washes for our youth to do something. Coat was transported. He was led back. Verse 35, that coat was tamed. They brought him to Jesus. Watch this. They cast their garments upon the coat and they set Jesus thereon. Nobody had never sat on him. Could you imagine when Jesus got the straddle of that little old donkey? What he thought? Boy, ain't nobody never touch me like Jesus. Ain't nobody never tried to ride me like Jesus. You say, "Well, why are you going to praise Him?" I close. I just can't praise Him enough because His devotion. I'm glad He went to Calvary. I just can't praise Him enough for His directions. "Go ye into all the world." I'm glad somebody come to my house. Well, Brother Preacher Elmer Cason, he's in glory this morning. I wouldn't call him back for nothing. He's got a new body. He ain't limping yonder in glory this morning. I sure am glad for that day, Brother Jason, that he done that on Liberty Baptist Church. A lot of y'all won't like this. You know what I was doing? Brother Daniel, I was rolling me up another, minding my own business. Renea's gone working down yonder somewhere in Bowden. Saturday morning, had it all by myself. Just me and myself, but something happened that morning. God butted in. There's an old man heard the voice of God. "Go ye. Go ye." Boy, he walked in that trailer. And my life's never been the same. I'm sure glad God arrested me of what I was doing. I'm glad that I repented of my sins and turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He saved me. And I'm thankful for that this morning. And so I said all that to say this. I want to thank Him not only for His deliverance, but I want to thank Him for His declaration. You see, He rode that little donkey back in town, and the disciples began to rejoice and praise God. Can I help y'all just a minute? Some of y'all with your feelings hurt. Some of you having bad trouble. And it could be at my house by the time I dismiss. I know that. But I tell you one thing. When you get in on praising and thanking God, it sure will help you with your troubles. They begin to thank Him and praise Him for what He's done. And I just can't thank Him enough for the declaration. All right, what are you declaring, preacher? Well, first of all, I'm glad I'm a brought mule. I'm glad God brought me. Went to a bad place and found me and led me out. I want to declare I'm a brought mule, and I'm going to tell you something. I'm a broke mule. No man had never rode this mule, but Jesus did. You know, I've not arrived, but I can tell you one thing. I'm a lot further along than where He found me at. And I thank Him for that. And then I want to say, lastly, I want to declare this. I sure am a blessed mule.
You say, why are you a blessed mule? Don't you know that little mule was so blessed that he lifted Jesus up? Jesus rode in town on him. And I want to remind y'all Baptists something while you're quiet right here. This is going to help you if you can get it down. They weren't crying Hosanna to the mule. That's crying Hosanna to the King. This year, would you come? I sure am glad there's a God in heaven that is worthy of our praise. You know something? I just keep laboring and saying this because you're just here with me and you feel the way I do. We had some of the best preaching last. It was just fabulous. It was just fabulous. But you know, we can't say Hosanna to the preacher or the singer. That's why, listen to me. A lot of folks think I'm ugly about this. I'm not ugly. I'm just trying to teach you something about worshiping God. That's why we don't applaud singers here. Our heads get too big. Brother Mike, they'll come around and tell me, and you preacher, I ain't never heard nothing like that. That's the best preaching I've ever heard in all my life, man. That was fabulous. And then you get up and preach the next Sunday, and you wish there's a trap door there you could pull and just disappear. God knows how to keep us where we need to be. Now, I want to remind y'all, they not shouting Hosanna to the donkey. Thank God He's put good preachers in your life. And yes, we need to be encouraged. Shake your little Baptist head up and down. We sure do. But it ain't about us. He's coming. And I'm more sure today He's coming than I've ever been in all of my preaching days. You know why I know He's coming? Because He said, when you see these things, lift up your head. Because your redemption draweth nigh. Stand around the house.